Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Let's talk now with Peter Atfield, the Chief Talent and Learning Officer at Jardine Matheson, and Melanie Cook, the Managing Director of APAC for Hyper Island here in Singapore. Of course, Hyper Island is a learning institution here that does a lot of training in the digital space. Welcome to you both today. Great to have you on Weekend Mornings.
Good morning.
Good morning, Glenn and Anita. Nice to see you. And Melanie, hi.
Hi, Peter.
Melanie, I see you have some kick-ass headphones.
You got some serious headphones on, Melanie.
I was well briefed, so.
Well, and Peter, I believe you're joining us from Hong Kong. Is that correct?
I am. Yes, indeed.
Great. How's everything there? How's everything there today? Everybody in good health and in good spirits?
Well, we seem to be. Yeah, we've been very consistently having, 40, 50, 60 cases for the last month or so. So, we're still in sort of versions of shutdown here and there. But no, life goes on.
We were just getting to a place where we were going to start opening up the corridor between Singapore and Hong Kong. Yeah. And everybody was so excited again, right? And then.
Yeah, indeed. One of my colleagues was on the first plane and was destroyed when it got canceled at the last minute.
That is a shame. Well, why don't we start with you, Peter, and talk to us, as the Chief Talent and Learning Officer at Jardine Matheson, a very traditional company, right? As we all know, over 100 years old and a very, very mainline company. Tell us about the digital journey that you wanted to embark upon in terms of training or reskilling your employees.
Yeah, no, I think, Glenn, one thing it's important to understand is Jardines is a conglomerate, right? We operate a bit like a, Berkshire Hathaway sort of investment holding business, or at least traditionally have done that. And, so a lot of the training activity was happening in our business units. We looked about 2.5 years ago now about, we're trying to answer the question, where does it make sense to leverage the scale of the conglomerate in our learning and development, not just on the digital side, but on leadership development and, functional skills like finance and HR, et cetera. And one of the obvious answers to that question in a world of digital transformation, which had been part of our sort of strategic intent as a business for, probably about 3 years, that the whole space of developing the digital capabilities of our people was something that we should address at a group level. So, we started there really and then started to think about, where do we need to focus? Who are the vendors, et cetera, et cetera? And the rest is history, to speak.
Why Hyper Island? Why did you choose them?
Well, I think we'd done quite a lot of due diligence, I guess, in terms of who were the players in the market. One of the things that I'd done when I took over this role was speak to a lot of my peers in other companies. I was around the market, I guess, and Hyper Island's name came up in a number of those conversations. Secondly, we were looking for, an organization that had a bit of academic rigor behind them. So their business school, digital business school in Scandinavia was an important part of that. And thirdly, I think the presence in Asia Pac was important for us. Mm. So for those reasons, we headed down that path.
Yeah, and the interest of full disclosure, I got my master's degree in digital media management from Hyper Island about 6 years ago here in Singapore. So I'm well versed with what they do. But Melanie Cook, why don't you talk to us about why and how you are working with big companies like Jardine Matheson to really focus on their innovation skills and their digital learning?
I think it actually takes quite a special company to choose us. It's a lot easier to choose perhaps more established, well-known universities and business schools. What we tend to attract is the people who really want to be at the cutting edge of learning as well as innovation. So if you want to study, you don't come to Hyper Island. If you want to apply, you come to Hyper Island. If you want to learn about innovation, you don't come to Hyper Island. If you want to really put it into practice and gather the tools and the knowledge and the network and the understanding of the collaboration required, then you come to Hyper Island. So really, people choose us. The corporations choose us because they choose our pedagogy, which is team is everything. And the fact that if you can take digital, so that includes digital technologies, you know, AI, blockchain, whatever that might be, VR, AR, and exponential change that's creating and the new business models that's creating and the new platforms that's creating. Mm. And you combine that with management, which is people and collaboration. It goes beyond cooperation, right? It goes beyond working together. It really is creating together. When you combine that and you want a school that delivers against the harder, you know, the harder skills, I guess, of innovation and the technology side and the softer skills of learning to work together and creating as a team remotely, most importantly, that's where HyperRidan really comes to their own. And we have fun, by the way, you know. So a recent alumni said, I come to you to learn not to study because we have fun doing it. It's hard work, but it's fun.
Yeah, that's the easiest way to learn as well, you know. I really like what you're saying, Melanie, because there's so many things out there that are just from an intellectual standpoint, and it's very rote learning, and it's actually quite, you know, submissive in that sense, or passive. This really, the way to learn is to actually be able to do it. I want to just address this to both of you, but to Peter, really, you know, your pillars were people, collaboration, innovation, and sustainability. What were about these pillars in Jardine that needed a different look? What was it? What was it at as it was, and where has it gone?
Yeah, no, I think, Anita, that relates back to what I was saying before, that historically we've been a very hands off, I guess, at a group level. You know, it was all about sort of strategy and capital allocation and key leadership, etc. But you know, over the last 2.5 to 3 years or so, those four words were used as, you know, what we were calling our cultural glue, you know, things that the CEO, the chairman wanted all of our business units to care about from a strategy perspective, right? So, you know, we in all of those areas, we have a variety of initiatives going on across the group, not just training related, obviously, but, you know, strategic initiatives, et cetera. So that's where they came from. And then within the innovation pillar, that broke down into sort of three areas that we started to focus on across the group. One was around, what do we need to be doing to modernize the core, we called it. So the core operations, the back office, et cetera, et cetera. How do we sort of, you know, make sure that we're leading edge in terms of systems, processes, et cetera. The second part was around, how do we accelerate growth through digital? So this was all around, you know, customer experience and digital channels, e-commerce, loyalty, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And the third part was around, you know, how do we sort of pivot our business models through digital? Yeah, so there's been a lot of work done with startups and accelerators, et cetera, to sort of get into areas that we hitherto haven't been. So, you know, all of what we've done with HyperRidan has been supportive of those broad thrusts.
And Melanie, from HyperRidan's point, because I've not taken a course there, but obviously now I want to.
And you should.
I should. I want to fill all the potholes. This is our euphemism for the whole thing.
Your personal digital
my
potholes.
My personal digital potholes. How do you approach established companies, you know, who have a kind of a blueprint that's been in there, and they are absolutely sincere? Because that's why you come to HyperRidan. I think sincerity is a big part of this, that you sincerely want to actually change the way things are for the betterment of everybody. So what do you do actually then? Let's take one of the pillars, you know, whichever one that you'd like to focus on. Just give me a quick snapshot of how you work with a company to basically dig in and refresh.
You know, Anita, it's been very interesting. I'm sure this meme has been quoted several times across the last year, but COVID has been the chief transformation officer for so many companies. And what we found for us here in Asia, February, March time, everything changed. Everything changed just so quickly, and all of a sudden we had really well-connected, seasoned learning and development and talent officers saying everything has changed, you know, and it was the same with us. because we were used to face-to-face. So instead of saying, how do we take something offline and put it online, we actually asked ourselves and we reached out to our key clients, and they themselves reached out to their network to say, what do we need actually in this time? And so we really did co-collaborate, and I could say that with Peter, you know, for example, with Peter and his chief digital officers, we created the curriculum together in one strategy day when we could all be together. This was not last year. This was the year before. But I think our co-collaboration really led to innovative learning within this COVID world, in this pandemic world, remote everything world. And that just led to a sustainability of business, you know. So across the values of Jardines, and of course the values of us, everything has come to life. So I would say it started with us going, oh, we're all in trouble, you know, and that vulnerability and saying, what on earth do we do next?
Yeah.
And getting in and practicing what we preach and doing it together. That's how we found clients willing to come with us on this scary journey.
we're talking with Melanie Cook.
Can I just add to that?
Go ahead, Peter.
And what was really interesting is, you know, we came off the back of a very successful 2019 with a bunch of, you know, very high energy face-to-face workshops, etc., worried, I guess, about, okay, how is this going to translate? And, you know, to our great surprise, we ended up with even better impact and ratings and whatever last year. Which is, I think, testament to the work that the Hyper Island team did to sort of, you know, pivot this thing seamlessly. And you know, I think the proof of the pudding, so to speak, is in that, you know, our nominations for all the Hyper Island programs for 2021 are even higher than last year. Mm. So, you know, it's been quite an amazing story, really.
Yeah, talking with Peter Adfield, the Chief Talent and Learning Officer at Jardine Matheson, and Melanie Cook, the Managing Director of APAC at Hyper Island. Peter, as a result of this, you've rolled out the Jardines Digital IT and Innovation Academy. A bit of a mouthful, also goes by JDIIA as an acronym. As you look back across this last couple of years or so of putting this journey together, and for the benefit maybe of other large groups such as Jardine Matheson, what were the pain points that you had to overcome? And were there hacks that you, as the Chief Talent and Learning Officer, had to sort of employ to make sure this could really get going across an organization that's got over 400,000 employees?
Yeah, so it's a great question, Glenn. And it was a hard road, I have to tell you. You know, I think we created a, you know, so sitting across the top of that mouthful that you just described of the Digital Academy, we created what we call the Jardines Learning Academy. And, you know, within that, we have some sub academies, if you like, in leadership and digital, in HR, in finance, and procurement. You know, I think the most important, I think we did two things that were really important to sort of setting this direction. Because as I said before, you know, we were never like this, right? Learning at the group level in Jardines was, you know, historically with very low scale and only focused on, you know, high potential leadership development programs. You know, I think one of the key things we did is we did a, you know, a very detailed diagnostic about where were we versus what other good companies do, right? And I guess, you know, the key sort of dimension of that was around spend. You know, if you look at what the good companies spend on learning, what's world-class practice, you know, I think we were surprised when we sort of saw those comparisons. And that was a bit of a wake-up call, I think, in terms of you know, the leadership commitment to doing something differently. And I think secondly, and probably most more importantly even, was, you know, what was very unclear when I arrived was who plays where. You know, what do I do? What do you do, Mr. Business Unit? Yeah. And we actually went through an exercise we called exactly that, who plays where. You know, we sort of identified for every type of learning and every level and, you know, every geography, et cetera, et cetera, you know, where were we going to play? And you know, that created this mandate for me then. For example, in digital innovation, we all agreed that it makes no sense for the business units to tackle that, you know, mammoth question themselves, because they won't have the scale or the access to the, you know, the vendors, et cetera, that we can as a group. So, you know, I think that exercise was really key. And I think, you know, just one last thing I'd say, Glenn, is, you know, what we, I think, very successfully did is all of this is now on the agenda of the CEO and the executive chairman of Jardines, right? They care about this. They ask questions. How's it going? They want to see the statistics. They, you know, a lot of what we're doing is very aligned to the strategy of the business. Those four pillars, Anita, you mentioned before, you know, all of our programs in some way can link back to those. So I think there's some areas, Glenn, that we worked on.
And Peter, as you look at the past year and a half, 2 years and going forward, what have you noticed is the ROI that you're getting off these programs with Hyper Island, or where do you hope it will go going forward, either from an individual, you know, workers basis, or when you look at the different groups within Jardine Matheson?
Yeah. No, look, I think this question of ROI of learning is like the holy grail of learning. You know, I'm not sure anyone's really cracked, you know, how you do that. Of course, there's lots of methodologies and things around of, in terms of learning transfer and, you know, the traditional sort of happy sheets of, you know, did you like the course, et cetera. You know, if the measure of success was, did you like the course and did you have fun and did you learn something, we're off the charts on all of that sort of stuff. You know, if the measure is, you know, have we sort of moved the needle on the bottom line, it's a bit harder to answer that question. But what I would say is that, you know, just if I take the Hyper Island programs that we've done, Melanie, you'll correct me, but I think across all of our programs, our people have been learning something like 40 or 50 new tools that are relevant to this new digital world. And, you know, and in addition to that, you know, I couldn't imagine to begin to think how many ideas for improvement, for change, for, you know, action learning type projects, et cetera, that they've worked on. They're probably in the hundreds by now. And I know for a fact that a number of those are moving forward in different ways and in the business, right? So, you know, I think in terms of, you know, it's a bit like sort of pushing a snowball and waiting for it to start to sort of gather momentum. I think that's what we've done. We've pushed the snowball. We've got a new language. We've got, you know, a couple of thousand people now sort of through all these programs. We will have by the end of this year. You know, I think we're starting to change the language, the culture, the, you know, the underlying skills, et cetera. So
that's amazing, Peter. That is really, you know, that is a huge amount for just a year and a half or so of this program.
Absolutely. And integration takes time, you know. It's not something that just happens overnight, not with anything.
Melanie, I'm going to give the last word to you because we do have to go. But so if a company's not quite sure if this is going to be right for them, this style, this method, whatever, what's the best way for them to engage with you to do a look-see and figure out what maybe their next step should be on their digital journey?
I'm definitely just come and join. We have a huge portfolio of open courses now, and the best thing to do is for the learning and development officer, or if they want to have a couple of their key champions of within the company, come and join us for a couple of short courses. You get the flavor of what we do really quite quickly, whether it's a day course, 90 minutes, or a 3-day course. So just come in, you know, roll your sleeves up, prepare to get a little bit messy with digital, and really experience the transformation that can take place with engaging learning.
Oh, fantastic. Our thanks to Melanie Cook, the Managing Director for APAC for Hyper Island, and Peter Atfield, the Chief Talent and Learning Officer at Jardine Matheson, for giving us that view into your journey, a very interesting one at that. Thanks so much for your time today.
Okay, great. Thanks, Glenn. Bye.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.